This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water. Just in case if stuff gets too fire, I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hey everybody, happy Friday. Things are getting very interesting at home lately.
Oh, is that so?
Yes. So, my wife is working from home the last few days of this week. And we have, this is my favorite thing right now.
I like to say I do a lot of that.
Work from home?
Work from home. I mean, we don't do the show from home, but I at home, I try to convince my family that I'm working.
Yes, well.
When I'm just watching a game or on my iPad, I think, like, technically I'm working.
You're not going to fool me on that one, because we have the same job.
Yeah.
In her case, it's legit, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
At least if she's faking it, she's doing a great job of having these phone calls with random people that she must have, they must be in on it. They're just talking about lawyer stuff. It's really a great scam. So she's been home for a couple days, and so the kids come home from school. And yesterday, I get a text as we're in the 6 o'clock hour, and it's they want to go for a hike. So we're going for a hike. I'm like, okay, well, don't forget your lineup, ha ha ha. Right? Family fantasy football is hilarious so far. So she said something like, "Is there anything I need to do?" So I looked at it. Like, well, you have Marvin Jones. Here's Marvin Jones again. He keeps coming up.
You think the guy was a big star.
You have Marvin Jones in your lineup. And if you want action tonight, you could put Curtis Samuel in instead.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit close. I don't know. We're not playing for money. So no move is really like that bad of a move.
Okay.
So that's how I put it, though. Like if I was talking to Joe or somebody, if you want action tonight, put Curtis Samuel in.
Yep.
Immediate response from her. Done.
Wow.
That was it. Done. And she sits down to watch Thursday night football.
Yeah, that's messed up.
Right? It's awesome. So she watched about, we watched some of, there was that lightning delay.
Yeah.
And after that, we watched Top Chef or something.
I watched of that game. There's almost no way that yesterday, if we had talked about how much, I think you even asked me, I'm like, I'm not that interested. I don't really care that much. I mean, you know, DJ Moore I have, but I'm not going to.
Did you play DJ Moore?
Yeah, I did.
Good.
It just turns out that I had this event. You know, we went out to see Andre at Community Beer Works last night, and then a couple of friends and I, we went somewhere else. And because of the delay, I ended up seeing three quarters of the game. And I don't know that I've seen three quarter like two conclusion of one of these Thursday night games ever. I mean, I usually just tank out, but I was up because I was out, and so all right, well, there's only 5 minutes left. I guess we should just stay. I just want to see the end of this now, and so I did that.
I think I love the Thursday night game as much as anybody. I have too. Like the last couple of years, I've been this way. I love the Thursday night game. When it's Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday morning, I'm like, tomorrow. Lineups tomorrow. There's a game tomorrow night. Like, I love it. And people say, reasonably and rightly, they say, well, it's terrible for the players. I'm like, it's all terrible for the players. All of it. It's all terrible for the players.
That's right. But like, it's extra terrible, but sure.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. The
short turnaround. I mean, I believe that. I mean, we talked with Eric Wood about that enough times over the years. It's very tough, I think.
Yeah, I feel like it's all tough.
Yeah.
So, you know, how bad am I supposed to feel about loving watching Thursday night. I'm not going to feel bad about that.
Yeah.
So I watch this. She goes to bed at halftime. I watch the second half. And I don't know. I got to say this. The end of that game was incredible. Now, okay, Cam Newton has some injury or more than one injury. Like he's in rough shape maybe.
Yeah.
You can see it in his passing. You know, he's had a litany of injuries that a casual football fan can remember some of them. He had shoulder surgery at the end of last season. You know, he was shut down before last season ended. Like, there was a night game last year toward the end where he looked terrible.
Right.
And they just said, that's it. He hurt his foot in the preseason this year. He was in a car accident a couple of years ago and came out of that. And this guy has just been taking a beating overall since he came into the league. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
So,
he's talked a lot, like, about... Because he's so big that defenders maybe get away with more stuff on him. Officials are less inclined to call penalties because he's such a big dude.
Yeah.
That he feels like he maybe gets taken advantage of. And I think there's... Yeah, I feel like I've seen highlights that support that. Like, I think there's stuff that has happened to him or been done to him that maybe would draw flags on other guys and doesn't on him.
Right. So the guys had, like, you think about Andrew Luck retiring. Well, Newton is the next year.
I was thinking about Luck almost all night last night, watching Newton play. Just because there's, and you know, it's hardly foolproof. It's even somewhat risky. But, you know, the Monday night game with Houston this past Monday, I think one of the first things I said on Tuesday was, like, Deshaun Watson is fun to watch, and he just looks like he's having fun playing. Like, he enjoys it. Like, he gets the crap knocked out of him, too, but he's picking guys up, and he's smiling, and it just looks like a joy to him.
Enjoy it now?
Yeah, right. Maybe Newton used to be like that. I think maybe he was last night. Like, that's all gone, man. Like, he just looks beat. And I don't mean, like, beat, you know, like he's... Well, no, I guess I do. I
beaten.
Beaten, yeah. Like, every hit, it's just like, oh, I'm still doing this. Oh, I'm still doing this. You know, just, and he can't function at the level he's used to having functioned at right now because of injuries. Like, I don't know, by like 11 o'clock last night, all I could think about was Andrew Luck. Like, is Cam Newton going to retire? Like, it would not stun me if Cam Newton just said, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't do this
anymore.
No,
that shouldn't surprise anyone anymore. That's right. So, I mean, he's made $75 million the last 4 years going into this season. Like, before this season, he's going to make $23 million if he lasts this year. So, you know, it should be – it's a pretty good number. I don't know. Not thinking so much about his retiring as I just how the game ended. Like, so he's had a tough night. I saw from Chase Stewart today how Newton went 2 years with never having a game – in which he didn't throw for a touchdown or run for one. He accounted for at least one touchdown in every game for 2 years in a row. And now he's gone four without one. He's not had a touchdown pass or a touchdown run in his last four games. So there's the end of that game. And, like, they lost last week at home, and now they are playing Tampa. And anytime Howard Simon picked the Panthers season, he always gives them a win in that game against Tampa Bay at home. Like, come on. They bounce back.
Yep.
And there it is. So they get down to the 2 yard line. There's a offside penalty or something, and they move the ball so it's like inches.
Yeah.
Fourth and basically inches from the two. And you saw it. Newton goes in motion and stands there on the right edge, you know, outside the right hip of the right tackle or the tight end, who's ever there. And it's Christian McCaffrey on a sweep left, and he doesn't make it. And, like, at the same time, I feel, I mean, aware and a little bit sympathetic toward Newton for, like, whatever condition he's in. But holy cow, if the coach sends in that play, you're Cam Newton. You're right. Like, you're flipping off the coach.
Right.
Like, no, I am just going to... He's gone for more quarterback sneaks by far, Warren Sharp had it, than any quarterback in the league over the years.
Yeah.
How is he not just plowing forward?
Yeah.
He's in such bad shape, mentally too.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
Don't you need that guy right there to just get the first down?
Right. I mean, you know, you could even – he's probably scored on sneaks from the two. I don't have a highlight.
Maybe from the 10.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, it just it was incredible that they. I mean, McCaffrey's a great player, so putting the ball in McCaffrey's hands is not like a crime.
Right.
But given how much you needed there, you would think Newton could just kind of fall forward following the center, and like you'd get at least a first down, and then you still got to score to win the game. But you'd be at the one. You know, like, come on.
I don't know. Like, is this bad to say? What was going to happen to him that hasn't already happened to him if he did that? Like, I can't believe it didn't happen. I cannot believe it didn't happen. And you want to tell me that he's hurt? I agree. I'll grant you that. I still can't believe it didn't happen.
Right. Like, even if his foot, like, if he can't really run to the extent that, you know, you're a dangerous weapon, running, open field, making guys miss, whatever. I mean, if you can't even be counted on to plant and push forward, I mean, what are you even doing playing? You know, like, how can you be expected to throw the ball if a foot is bothering him so much that he can't execute a quarterback sneak? I don't know how you're expecting him to execute 20-yard passes.
His rushing last night was 2 for 0. I mean, that's not Cam Newton. So, I can't believe how the game ended. I don't really care who won the game. I didn't need Carolina for anything to win the game. But I thought it was just shocking almost.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. Whatever happens to them happens, but that was just a really, really bad loss, I think. So, enough about them.
I don't have much more.
I don't have anything more. That's it. That's my point. I cannot believe how it ended.
I'll just say once more. I don't think I've said it exactly here. I have loved watching that guy play. Like, that was tough to watch last night.
And he's the best dresser in the league still. Like, he has not lost that. He still knows how to get dressed for the post-game press
even
conference.
Even with the kerchiefs?
All of it.
That's
I love it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, and there was no, just another point about it real quick, there was no real time pressure there. They had a minute 28.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure.
Like, they had time. Yeah. If he gets the first down there, they're first and goal at the two, they can let the clock run. Like, there's nothing.
Right.
That's not a factor in that. Well, tough one for them.
Yeah.
So there's Carolina, 0-2 with both home losses, and the Bills here. Hi, Bills. Bills here with a chance to go to 2-0 with road wins. I mean, that's pretty good. If you can do that, have your first two wins, first 2 weeks, and have them both be road games. I mean, of course, that's a great start if you can get it. If not, you know, we're not that far along, really. Like, a loss to the Giants, I wouldn't be thinking as much about how it was a road game as I would be that it's a loss to a team you're favored against on the road.
Yeah, and, you know, then I'd be looking at, okay, well, I'm home for the Bengals, and then it's the Patriots, and, you know, the most likely record for you after that is probably 2-2. Although losing to the Giants is probably the kind of game that would have you wondering how they'll do against the Bengals. Like, they'll be favored, I think, even if they lose this game, most likely. But still, it would shake you a little bit. Like, you don't think the Giants are that good, so, you know, I'm supposed to assume I'm just going to beat the Bengals now? It would shake you up. But even with that, whatever, take emotion out of it, I think you 2-2 would be the most likely record you'd expect after 4 weeks, and that's not good enough. You know, like, if this team is going to have a year, I know road games are tough, and it's maybe a surprise that the Bills are favored, and they're favored by a lot. I didn't look today. Has it changed at all? It's 2.
2-44.
But, like, these two games have always looked like games I really got to get. I got to get off to a start that cushions me for the latter part of my schedule. So I think I really want to come home 2-0 here. You'd always want to, but I'm not at New England here in week 2, you know? I'm not at Dallas here in week 2. I'm playing the Giants, and I should be able to handle that.
Cincinnati, by the way, they were, I think, very impressive in their first game. They lost to Seattle 21-20, was it? But, like, we brought this up with John Clayton yesterday. I just, like, Cincinnati looked great to me in that game. The passing game was really good. Dalton was at 400, right? He was at 400 yards at Seattle. Their defensive line was great in that game. Like, it's almost weird that they lost the way they were playing. So, and in a rain for some of that game. I just really liked the look of the Bengals that day. And they have San Francisco at home Sunday. I do think that there's a scenario Sunday where the Bengals could end up favored here.
Yeah.
I do. If they have a really impressive win, they're going to be talked about because that job, they didn't win the game, but they looked like really good in Seattle. But anyway, that's next week. I've got some prop bets on this week that I think are kind of interesting.
Oh, really?
Bills, yeah.
Okay. I'm ears.
Josh Allen, 216 is his over-under. Passing yards.
Over. Easy. Over easy. I'm going. Joe, over to you.
I don't like it. I don't like it. There's two things that could happen here. He could have a setback kind of game here, which I could see happening. Or I could see what happened last week against the Giants, where they just get out way ahead and game script doesn't go well for him, and he just doesn't have to throw the ball that much.
Well, that would be how? That would be just destroying them on the ground?
In the first half, sure.
Because Prescott also had a huge passing game against them.
400 in the third quarter.
Yeah. Like,
actually, you know what? I would take the over. I meant to say I would take the over, but it's not nearly as easy for me.
I think this is one of those times where it's like, that number is sort of like, if you're just like a Josh Allen guy, you wouldn't believe this number.
Right.
Like, you know that the Giants are terrible in the secondary, right? You saw you know about the Dallas game, and you just would not, like, if you're a Josh Allen guy, you're probably like, what? You know, sometimes I'll tweet betting lines and prop bets and things, and like, Bills fan guy, or Josh Allen guy is like just, oh, that is, take it to the bank, you know? They'll just say stuff like that. And 216,
yeah.
It's not even good.
No, it's a pretty lame number, which is why I'm just, you know, I don't think I'm the guy you're describing here, but I'm going to be pretty surprised if he doesn't throw for more than 216 yards against a team that got lit up for 400.
Well, keep that in mind. Eli Manning down Sterling Shepard. Maybe also down Latimer, and there's someone else who's out. There's another receiver already who's
Darius
out.
Darius Slayton.
Who are they actually down to? Against a Bills defense that people like a lot. 251 is his number.
Now, what is that? They're way behind, so okay. They'll be throwing.
Okay.
I don't know. I would just as easily take the under on that.
That's, you like that equally?
Yes.
You like those two bets equally?
Yes.
Eli under, Allen over.
Yes.
I mean, you want to have a good team. If they have a good team, you'll win.
Yeah,
like, that's what,
right.
That's what this is. Like, if the Bills are a good team that can, like, do the job here against a kind of a lame opponent, you just would take the money here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd like to be right if you felt this way one of these years.
Yes, right.
Allen to throw for two touchdowns plus 156. Two. He has to throw for both. He can't run.
Yeah.
We need to not have him rush for a touchdown. Let's just put that in check here.
Yeah. I don't know that I would so easily go for that. Because the chance of him running one or more in, I think it's pretty good. They get down goal to goal. You know, what did I say when we made the bet? There it was last Sunday. Like, they were down at the 3-yard line or whatever they were, and he ran it in.
It was such an easy-looking play,
yeah.
That play. Like, just sort of, he could just walk in there, he gets it to the corner, and like it just looked so easy, that one. Reminded you of last year, the way that looked.
Yeah.
All right, so you like that, but not as much. You would go for the plus 156. Like, plus 156 is what? I'd have to find another line. What's going to be plus? All right, wait a minute. Plus 156 is Indianapolis winning at Tennessee. They're a 3-point underdog. So the odds of a team that's a 3-point underdog winning the game, whoever team, it doesn't matter. Like,
yep,
they'd all be the same in this.
Yep.
Is the same as Josh Allen throwing for two touchdowns on Sunday. I don't know if that feels right or what.
Yeah, I have a hard time for some reason connecting that. But I don't love that one.
Okay,
I think I would take a pass on that. I would if I had an account at some place. I mean, I think these places exist. If I had such an account, I think I would bet. And I were someone who bets on this stuff. I think I would take those first two. I think I would hold off on that one.
Okay. Over under carries -118. So it's a little bit pricey, but still, like, as close as they get here at Bet Online to the even, you know, an even line. Singletary and Gore are both 11 carries. Mm. Did either guy have 11 carries at the Jets?
I think Gore might have had exactly 11, or did he have 11 yards?
Why do I think he had 10 carries? Maybe it's 11. Maybe it's more. But whatever.
Yeah. It was close. He was in double digits in carries. I'm almost sure he had at least 10.
Okay. Who gets more here?
I would expect it to be Singletary, but I don't, like, I don't know, earlier this week we had the guy called us that was tweaking us about McCoy. Like, McCoy had an 8-yard average, you know. And I was pretty adamant, like, Singletary's their running back. Like, don't worry about it. Don't give me Frank Gore's statistics. Singletary's the number one running back. And, you know, that showed last week, but I don't know, like, how the game goes could change that. Like, if the Bills are up by 10 or 17 points in the fourth quarter or something,
Gore,
I could see Gore, the trusted veteran, just sort of, you know, just run between the tackles and keep the chains moving, yada yada yada, where, you know, ball security, all that, you don't want to maybe trust the rookie there. So I think if the game goes a certain way, I don't think it's hard for me to see a scenario where Gore would again get more carries.
That's the bet you want. So, if you want to bet, like, I know you and I heard you on the quarterback bets and the whole thing about the account and everything like that. If you wanted to bet Allen over and Manning under, then the bet here I think is Gore. I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if Frank Gore gives you this game, all these numbers or higher in each category, 11 carries, 48 yards, and one touchdown, all rushing, plus 550. Singletary is almost identical. You can do the same thing.
Yeah.
11, 51, and 1. Plus 550. And what's plus 550? Arizona winning at Baltimore.
Wow.
Like, that's plus 500. So something like that.
Yeah.
Plus 550 would be Arizona winning at Baltimore-ish. And that's Gore or Singletary, 11, 50, and 1. They're basically the same.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't... If you want to bet Allen over and Manning under, can't you get to one or both of those?
You could get to both of those.
Yeah.
If you're looking at a game where you're thinking Gore might finish it out and therefore get those numbers, the first half or the first three quarters of that game could be Singletary getting those numbers, like maybe easily exceeding those numbers. So yeah, I mean, I think you could do both of those and not, you know, and connect them to the Manning and Allen bets and have a pretty good time with this game.
Barkley in the plus 230 range for 1886 and 1. Way different. Way higher thresholds for Barkley, and it pays not even half as much. All right, 803-0550. How confident are you? Like, how confident is it right to be here? We will have Kevin Payne on, do some fantasy with him here at 4 from RotoWire, and Sal Capaccio will be here from 5 to 6, Bills Roundtable. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, this is
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
UGR.
Just play the rules or the calls, and I feel like our coach is doing a great job of coming up with a game plan that is going to put us in a great position to try to limit those guys from making big plays, but it's going to take all 11 guys to the ball to stop 26 and 88, so those are two great players, and we feel like, you know, we got a good plan.
Tre'Davious White off to another excellent season, it would seem. Good start. Don't let anybody... I know, like, I'm the critic, but don't let anybody tell you about the Bills not drafting Patrick Mahomes, which obviously seems and maybe always will egregious, but they did get this guy.
Yep.
And he is excellent and has always been excellent, like right from the first day. So He's a part of that equation. Eli Manning over under passing yards at Bet Online, 251. And, you know, okay, let's see. No Sterling Shepard, who's pretty good. Obviously, no Golden Tate, suspended for the first 4 weeks, is it? Four? They have another injury, maybe two other injuries as well. So, where's your 251 against Trey White and company? The Bills are down a little bit in the secondary themselves. Taron Johnson.
Nickel corner Taron Johnson has been ruled out. He hasn't practiced all week. He left last week's opener with a hamstring injury. So, yeah, he's out. Wallace is okay. He's not. There's not even a designation for him on the injury report. So he hobbled off yesterday. It was said afterward that he came back and finished practice after the media was not there watching anymore. And I guess he got through today's workout. It must have gotten through fine because, again, no designation for him on the report.
What are you seeing around the league? Joe Mixon practiced today. He's an iffy one, and maybe he's questionable now for Cincinnati. They have the 49ers. James White, there's a rumor going around about James White with the Patriots that he might miss the game against the Dolphins because of the birth of a child. So there's just a rumor about that. I'm telling you up front, that's all I know that to be. Mike Williams, LA Chargers, game time. Those are the toughest. The Chargers have had so many injuries. At least in this case, for fantasy players, it's at 1 o'clock. With the Chargers, it just seems like it's always them who you have a 4:05 or a 4:25 game. You just don't know about somebody, and you can't figure out what to do because like there's just that can be annoying. But they're at Detroit this week. I love what you said about that game.
Yeah, I'm
totally right.
I've got the schedule for the week open. I've had it open all week, and I guess I just did not notice they're playing Detroit. And so you guys were talking about this report about him. I'm like, oh, I'm thinking to myself, where are they playing? What time? Los Angeles at Detroit. Like, has that game ever happened in the history of the league? Chargers at Lions. It just does not.
Can you remember a single thing
that's
ever happened in a game between the Chargers and the Lions?
100% no way. I have no – I could probably raise my voice and yell really loudly that they've never played. I'm positive. I've never seen it. I don't know. I have no idea what has ever happened. Like Barry Sanders highlights.
The Chargers are never in them.
I've never seen the Chargers in a Barry Sanders highlight. And maybe those are the only Lions highlights you ever see, are Barry Sanders highlights. And no, nothing. I don't know. Kelvin Johnson. I don't know. Nothing.
You know, I love to think about stuff like that, and am often doing that, just like these matchups. The NFL schedule, I just love how it works, where you see the NFC teams play the AFC teams once every 4 years. I just love the sort of the motion of the NFL schedule. And I'll think like that too. Like, what has ever happened in a game between these two teams that you remember? And I'm telling you said that during the break. I'm not sure I could think of a matchup that works better for me in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just remember random stuff from a lot of old games. You know, they would have played each other in the 70s. But I can't tell you right now. I don't have an answer for you. I don't even have there was this one thing that maybe only I remember or something. I don't have that here. I might want to think I could go all day maybe until I not finding another matchup where I couldn't think of a single memory. But Lions at Chargers. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that is right.
So that's 1 o'clock. That's Lions at home. Chargers coming east here. So, all right.
It's barely east. It's Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
It's like the westernmost
place
in the Eastern time
zone. That's right. You are pretty close to the edge.
At least
there.
You're more like the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, Detroit to Boston is what, like a 2-hour flight?
Probably. Yeah, that's probably about right. It's about 4 hours from here. So, yeah, that's probably about right.
I bet it's at least 2 hours.
Yeah.
So now we've covered that. Here's Noel with us. Hi, Noel.
Hey, what's going on? I just want to talk about how Josh Allen and the Bills, I suggest, I'm not their father, but they should do a shoot offense with John Brown and Zay Jones and others. What do you think?
They should do what? I was laughing when you said I'm not their dad.
Run and shoot offense. What do you think?
A run and shoot run and offense. Shoot.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, just keep throwing the ball. You know, keep getting touchdowns.
Well, I'm with you on the touchdowns. I do like that part of this idea.
And I like that they came out, you know, I don't know that I've said this all week long in the course of complimenting them and being hopeful about the 18 pass attempts to open the game. They also were in a no huddle. Now, that's not the run and shoot. Run and shoot is more, it's formational, it's personnel. And a lot of what the Bills were doing, even when they were in empty sets, was Pat DeMarco split out wide. I mean, that is not, that's hardly Haywood Jeffries. I mean, it's not the same, right? But they did spread it out, and they ran plays quickly. They went with a no huddle, at least on that first possession. So it's, I don't know, you're inching your way along there towards being more, I don't know, more forward-thinking offensively, but it's, you know, I don't predict they're going to go to any kind of run and shoot anytime soon.
You know, thanks, Noel. I don't know. It still remains to be seen. For the most part, it still remains to be seen what this quarterback can actually do. You know, like what he can be capable of. We know that in isolated plays, that he can be phenomenal, you know, but that's not like winning quarterback play in and of itself. It's not enough. You have to be able to repeat it. You have to be able to be good enough repeatedly so that your team can keep possessions and
right.
and drive and score. And I would say this, like we've been talking about that Jet game for 5 days, and I think Bills fans have given Allen a lot of credit for how he played in that game. Which is fine. It's 17 points, you know. Mm-hmm, you had four turnovers. That counts. So where you need to be is above where we are. And you know, this is not a point about the run and shoot. I don't have a point ready to say about the run and shoot. But if you're talking about a more complicated pass-oriented offense, I don't know if we're capable of that. You know, like I do commend the Bills, and I think this is what absolutely should happen, for doing what they've done so far to find this out, you know, to evaluate him and to test him, because really that's the only reason for drafting him, is to put a lot on his plate, and now we're in the second year, it should be like this.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, I've thought all week long. Look, my single biggest takeaway after the win is vital. You got the win. It's a division opponent. Okay, I gotta stay ahead of the Jets. Good start. And maybe that won't be as challenging as we thought it was going to be before this game even happened with what's happening there, with Darnold being out for, it seems like, some length of time anyway. But the fact that they did – they can say, we trust him, we believe in him, it's his team, it's his offense, and all this stuff. You know, a lot of that to me is just like saying, LeSean McCoy is our starting running back. You know, we aren't going to trade Rasmus Ristolainen. We think he's still a good young player with room to grow. Okay, well, your actions tell me something else. What the Bills did on Sunday was back up the words they've had about their faith in Allen and giving him the keys to the kingdom and all that by putting the game in his hands. And yeah, he almost crashed it. You know, he was good, but the mistakes undo a lot of that. And, you know, you end up in a spot where you're down 16 points on the road because of it. But it doesn't undo that they gave him the opportunity, and I sure hope that the mistakes don't sort of deter them from doing more of that, because this is not a throwaway year. Like last year was just develop the quarterback. You know, just he's going to play. Just everything should be about what can I do to best move him along. I still need to do that. I still need to make him, you know, refine him and figure out what I've got. And I don't do that sheltering him. I don't do that handing it off 30 times. I do that by having him play the way top quarterbacks are expected to play week in and week out. And I'm really hoping that we, as this year unfolds, we're 8-10 weeks into it and go like, man, they've really kind of stayed true to that. You know, they have not been scared to have him do what needs to be done. And, you know, ideally you're getting a reward for that. You know, I can't know if it's going to happen that way or not, but I want them to handle him that way.
Let's go to Gary next. Hi, Gary.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Thanks for calling.
Yes, I wanted to call. I'm from Las Vegas. There's a pretty good contingent of Bills fans out here, by the way.
All right.
Want to know what your thoughts are on signing Mika Fitzpatrick to the Bills from Miami.
Well, he'd be a first-round pick. You know, maybe some other piece would have to happen. And I think he's going to be, my guess would be, he'll be a great deal for somebody. The Bills don't seem to me as being as in need for a safety as a lot of other teams. So I would expect someone else to outbid for him. But, I mean, he seems to be good. And for that price, I think somebody should do it. But, you know, I don't really see the Bills being that team.
Yeah, it's not, they have not. I've seen a couple of groupings of teams mentioned as being interested. The Bills aren't among them. That doesn't mean that they aren't. And nobody knows about it. But I like thinking about I think he's an excellent player. I think he can do a lot for you because like the Bills are really into this flexibility and Saran Neal, for instance, is a safety, but he's the big nickel corner and maybe he'll see a lot of action in this game because of Taron Johnson's injury and they do have an injury there. Like Fitzpatrick can play nickel corner for you very well. So I like the player a lot. If the price is a first-round pick, I wouldn't imagine the Bills going after it. I've seen some being alluded to that they want a first-round pick, but that maybe they won't be able to get it. And that would pique my interest. Like, if it were a second-round pick, I'd be real interested in that myself. I don't know that the Bills are, but I like the player a lot.
Yeah, I just believe the more we can stack up against New England, the better that team would be.
Okay, thanks, Gary. What a scene there, Miami. Like, maybe he plays. It sounds like he would play against New England, but if it's really bad, you know, maybe he shouldn't. I mean, I think there's an argument for that. All right. Kevin Payne coming up. Sal Capaccio will be in for an hour. Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Yeah, I think it comes down to a little bit of nutrition. I think for me, it wasn't so much, like, eating poorly. I think I would just, like, eat too much. Like, I think, like, instead of having two plates, have one, I guess, of whatever my mom made for dinner. So it sounds kind of dumb, but I think that's almost what it came down to. And then getting used to it, and you start to feel better, you have a little bit more energy, and all of a sudden it almost comes enjoyable. It might take a week or two, but after that, you feel pretty good. And for me, it was pretty easy.
That sounds like Jack Eichel, so I think maybe that's who we're listening to. Who is it? Who is it? I'm embarrassed now. Who is it?
It's Rasmus Dahlin. Yeah, no, it was Eichel. He's kidding around.
No, it's Casey Mittelstadt.
Okay.
Come on!
Casey
Are
Mittelstadt.
You kidding? Will you play that again? I 100% thought that was Jack Eichel.
I want to hear Mittelstadt from like last year now. I want to compare if his like if he sounds different.
I don't know. Wow, I can't believe that. I really thought Joe was just clowning on you.
We got to be better as a unit. Obviously, he bailed us out countless amount of times, and even the goals they scored.
Mittelstadt.
Lucky bounces, things like that. Nothing he can do. So.
Okay.
That's from last year.
I guess it is. That was quick.
Can I get this other one, the one from just a minute ago again, please? I don't know if this is that interesting to anyone but me or us, I hope, but
Here's a different one.
Yeah, I think it's just his voice. Like, he comes off so intelligent and so smart, and we were talking about yesterday at our opening meeting. He's talking, and once he was done, it was like he wanted to go get on the ice right away. So I think it's more than anything just his voice, his intelligence that stands out to me, and obviously he's been a good guy with the players so far, and it's all been really good. I thought it was a great day one.
I really think that sounds a lot like Jack. Like, I know it's Mittelstadt now, so I'm cheating, but wow, I never noticed that last year that he sounded that much like Eichel. Anyway, all right, hockey's here.
Yeah. Should I feel bad? I mean, probably should.
What, about hockey being here?
No, about not knowing their voices better.
Oh, well, it's early.
Maybe I should just not guess.
It's early. It's preseason.
It's training camp.
That doesn't matter.
Training camp for us, too.
That doesn't matter. Through last year, I was wrong all the time about who I was listening to. I want to say something like they all sound the same. And maybe there is some truth to that, but it's still a bad job if I can't tell whether I'm listening to Jack Eichel or not. I made salsa for Joe and Bulldog today. Not exactly right. That's actually not what I did.
You made salsa. I made salsa for us,
and I had a lot, and I brought some for you. That's right. That's what I did.
Very thoughtful, and it looks delicious, and it smells delicious. It smells very, very fresh.
It's good. This came together perfectly. My wife does a thing where we get fruits and vegetables from a farm every week, like a co-op kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear her say all the time, "What are we going to do with all these vegetables?" Like. There's only so many days in the week and so much time to cook, and what will the kids eat, right? So I just had this thought, like, I will make salsa. Like, I have never thought of that before or tried that. Found a recipe on my phone, followed it to the letter. Really wasn't that much to do. It's just a matter of what the proportions are, what the ingredients are.
Mm-hmm.
She bought one of these super powerful blenders. The Ninja Blender.
Okay.
If you've seen ads for it. She bought herself that a few months ago and like loves to use that. Like just pulse, pulse, pulse. Done. And it's great.
It does smell delicious. I just smelled it for the first time and now I just want to eat all
I don't have any chips, so I'm not. Yeah, I haven't tried it, so I can't vouch for its greatness, but I'm optimistic.
And I didn't do that great a job by not bringing in chips. I should have brought in. I bought chips too. I just didn't bring the chips.
Yeah, it's all right. You've done enough.
I've done enough.
I've got chips at home. We'll get
same.
By.
Got the lime right. The lime tortilla chips at home. Delicious.
It was really like using the vegetables we had. It was tomatoes and jalapenos. Like okay, salsa, and it's like six small to medium size tomatoes, and then a can of the diced tomatoes with the green chilies.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up with salsa for 14 people.
Yeah, right.
So I went, the key factor was how many vegetables we had, how many tomatoes we had. Like this is just going to be as much salsa as it is.
Right.
We are going to use the vegetables. Turned out that it just happens that the recipe I picked, salsa for 14 servings. So you guys have like two or three each.
All right.
That's not even a little bit. That's like a whole restaurant or grocery store jar of salsa or more.
Yeah, this is you've got a few people over and here comes a plate of chips and there's a bowl in the middle with salsa and like that's it, you're good.
But that's the amount of salsa I made was the size of the chip bowl.
right. Like that. But the amount you gave me is enough for like a, you know, Saturday night,
right.
College football, hey, you want some chips? Okay, yeah, good, we're good. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So there you go. Making salsa I'm like, you know, who is that guy that does that? Who's that person in your life? Somebody made cookies at work.
Turns out it's Mike.
It could be an older lady who just made extra cookies. Turns out it's me. That's right. Kevin Payne is next on WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.